Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a BA in hospitality business from Michigan State University and an MBA in business from Wayne State University. Since 1994, he's been the executive manager of the Detroit Athletic Club, which is celebrating its 100th anniversary. He was also the president of the Detroit Entertainment District Association from 2006 through 2014. His name? Ted Galeri. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Ted Galeri, the executive manager of the Detroit Athletic Club. Ted, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, thank you very much. It's good to be here this morning.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Jack, thank you for that question. I had a great childhood. Mom and dad were outstanding, wonderful people, hardworking, very dedicated to the family. I have five brothers and sisters. I grew up in Rosedale Park, and just a beautiful community at that time and still is today. We graduated from Redford High School in Detroit, and from there went on to Michigan State and then eventually Wayne State for my education. We had a great childhood. Our grandparents were always around. I was fortunate to know both sets of my grandparents. That had a big impact on me as well as my brothers and sisters. It was idyllic.
What's the biggest thing, Ted, you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Well, my mother was a stay-at-home mom, very dedicated to the family. One, you couldn't pull anything over on mom. She knew us inside and out, of course, and always knew the things that we were planning. I have three brothers, and of course, we could get into a little bit of mischief, and she was always seemed to be in tune to that. My mom was just a very loving individual. I remember very distinctly she would just stop what she's doing and grab us and give us big hugs, say, I love you. And, you know, that comfort of knowing where your mom is and how they feel about you and really is a great sense of strength. And to this day, my wife and I do the same thing with our children. My father, I'd have to say, was probably the most honest man I ever met. He was distinctive in his character. He was a man of a great character and loved by a lot of people. A dedicated father, and certainly one that was ready to raise four boys and a couple girls. He did it very well.
You graduated from Michigan State University with a degree in hospitality business in 1975, and you go to work downtown at this place called the Detroit Athletic Club. What was the initial job?
My initial job was an apprentice cook, which I happened to get because while I was at Michigan State, I was a cook there as well. And there was a moment in time, I was ready to graduate, and of course you think you know a lot when you're graduating. That wasn't necessarily the case because as I was cooking in this restaurant, Mother's Day rolled around, and I came in on the second shift, and it was a mess. And here we were serving about 500 people. And I went to see, after that, I went to see my professor, Lewis Miner, great man. And I said, Dr. Miner, I said, I'm about ready to graduate. I just worked a shift at a restaurant that I thought was a mess. Management didn't know what they were doing. I should know a lot more about this business than apparently I do. Where can I go and cook and learn the kitchen even from a good establishment, a good chef, and good management? And he made some recommendations, and one of them was the Detroit Athletic Club. So I was very proud to take my first job out of Michigan State as an apprentice cook.
You were there at the DAC for 4 years, 75 through 79. Ted, take us back 40 years ago.
Oh, my God.
What was the DAC like back then?
The DAC was a very inspirational place at that time. I actually thought we were the best in the world. I worked for a manager by the name of Lindy Mills, a great mentor, a man that was always happy. He brought the best out of people. He certainly encouraged me and my peers that were working at the DAC at the time. And we did some things that were quite novel. It was a long time ago. It was the Bicentennial. So at the Bicentennial in Detroit and in Michigan, some really neat things happened. DAC at that time had a very large culinary staff. We were sort of the cutting edge, if you would, of what was starting to happen in Michigan in the culinary field. A chef by the name of Dan Hooglier, who was a master chef, as well as somebody that went on to be on the Culinary Olympic team, was my chef at the DAC, a great guy. He's over at Schoolcraft College as an instructor. And we did some neat things. We catered a train going through northern Michigan. We catered masted sailboats that came in for the Bicentennial. We did a lot of neat things. We opened up the Renaissance Center. We did all the hors d'oeuvre parties as each tower opened up at the Renaissance Center. We opened up Fairlane Mall and so on. So I had some wonderful experiences at that time, and that really formed a lot of my understanding of quality, what it meant to work hard, to be dedicated, and to support the people around you.
We're talking to Ted Galeri from 75 to 79. He started out at the DAC and then left. And for the next 15 years, worked at a few special places. When we come back, we'll talk to him about him coming back to the DAC in 1994. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Ted Galeri, who rejoined the DAC in 1994 as a very young executive manager. Why did you ever come back in 1994?
All right. Well, let's talk about why I left, because that sounds like in 40 years ago, my gosh, that's a long time. I left the DAC much later than I thought I would. When I first went there as an apprentice cook, I told my father, I said, Dad, I'm only going to stay there a year. He said, well, why only a year? I said, well, I got things I want to do. I was thinking of going to Hawaii, doing something grand in our business. And the DAC captured my attention for 4 years. And I left the DAC really because I wanted to be called a manager. I just got married. Annie and I just got married, and I was thinking of my future. And I was so young, nobody would hire me at that time to be a manager. But eventually that did happen. I moved along in my career, went on to Orchard Lake Country Club, was manager there for 9 years, great period, great club, and came back to the DAC. And I came back because we love Michigan. We love Detroit. Annie has 8 brothers and sisters. I have 5 brothers and sisters. At that time, my mother was alive and just wanted to stay around our family. And we like Detroit. Detroit's a great spot. So we're definitely committed to it. When I came back to the DAC, it came off a period that was kind of rough in Detroit in 1994. It was a little tough. What was around the Detroit Athletic Club at that time is completely different than what is around the DAC today. In fact, I went home about a month after I'd been there and said, oh, honey, it's rough down there. There was a hotel across the street, the Madison Lennox, that caught fire, I believe, once a week. Behind us, there were slums. We owned an apartment building that really we're having trouble getting permission from the city to tear down. It's now the location of that is part of our courtyard currently. The DAC was a great draw because it was a fabulous and is a fabulous club. The building itself, a gem. It's a monument building. It was created to be, as John C. Lodge said, to be the pride of Detroit. It was meant to be an organization that reached out in the city, not only took care of its membership, but reached out in the city and did good. Hugh Chalmers said he, in his final speech as he was leaving the presidency of the DAC back in, I believe it was 1916, said that he wanted members to think about their membership and understand what the initials DAC really means. He wants it to mean Detroit Active Citizens. Detroit Athletic Club, but Detroit Active Citizens membership involved with the city, doing good in the city and helping to uplift it. It was for those reasons and my great experience that I had 4 years from 75 to 79 that really brought me back to the Detroit Athletic Club.
It was a ghost town. You know, you said we had some minor challenges. It was a ghost town. Ted, how did the DAC ever survive the 90s?
Well, we're always hopeful in Detroit, aren't we? Lions are going to win. You know, won't be long. There'll be a Super Bowl, and the Tigers are going to win the World Series. The DAC is always great. Detroit is a great city. And you hit some rough spots, and that's just the way it is. The DAC had to deal with business, the businesses leaving the city, members moving out to the suburbs. There's a time there, and maybe still true today, but probably less so, where members of the Detroit Athletic Club traveled a greater distance to come to the DAC than any other city athletic club like the DAC around the country. And it has to do with the city itself, this start of the city, I think, that really is the foundation of who we are. It brings people back. It creates a hope for the future. The DAC survived the 90s because it invested, and it had visionary leadership. It is a club that brings leaders together. I was just thinking of this the other day, Jack, that the things that were done in the 80s have set us up for success in 2015. And by the way, that's a 100th anniversary on Madison. We're actually 128 years old because we were located originally over on Woodward. But they bought property. They vacated John R. They're buying property around the Detroit Athletic Club when nobody was buying property in Detroit. It was a very visionary move. Some great people that thought of that, initiated it, and executed a wonderful plan. It allows us today to have a garage that we can park over 600 cars in. We have a beautiful courtyard. We have really almost 3.2 acres of property that we can do things with in a phenomenal location.
Tell us about the treasure we have in this grand old lady, the Albert Kahn Design DAC.
So that Albert Kahn did something magical with the Detroit Athletic Club. Even today, as people walk in, if there's something that happens, you have a sense of place. You walk into the lobby, you feel like you belong there. It has a kind of wraps around you a bit, makes you feel at home. It's always been the case. Albert Kahn had a great sense of space, a great sense of anchoring people to the moment where they are in the building. It connects you with people. Some buildings you may walk in and you have to get up into it before you see somebody else. At the DAC, we have a sense of being around others. It's a social club. And the way Albert Kahn designed it and built it, which, by the way, was before radio, if you think about that, and today it's a vibrant building. He did some very wonderful, visionary things with that club that allow us to be who we are today. It's a great structure. It's built to last. We know if we ever tried to tear down a wall that was original or rip up a floor that was original, it takes us a long time. We just can't get in there and remove it because he built it to last.
I've heard you say in the past, and I quote you now, we are stewards.
Yes, we are. It is an artifact. It's a beautiful, beautiful artifact. We take great care of it. And part of that care is something we've learned over the years. You just don't understand conservation to the degree we have to do at the DAC without actually going through it. We've worked with some wonderful partners, individuals that were trained really in state capitol. When the state capitol was restoring its building, a lot of the trades, the conservation trades for restoring buildings, learned a lot by doing that particular building. And it just so happened when we did have the funds, and we've invested millions and millions of dollars in the DAC since 98, we had some very professional, knowledgeable tradesmen that understood conservation, that came into that building and changed it and helped us to restore the way it was originally designed. It's a great thing when you uncover something of Albert Kahn's genius, polish it up, fix it, restore it to the original design intent, and then give it a little spark of today's reality, the way we like to use things today, really puts the finishing touch on it. We've done that throughout the building.
You talk about this fabulous culture. Ted, as the leader, as the servant leader, how does one propagate that culture throughout the 300-plus team members?
All right. Well, you got to love people. In this business, this is a hospitality business, right? We welcome people into our home. When we welcome people into your home, you do it with love and care. We do the same thing at the DAC. The hospitality worker is somebody that really cares about others. It's a great business to be in. That's why I love walking into the building every single day. And that hospitality attitude permeates throughout the building. Hospitality in athletics, yes. Hospitality in the dining room, of course. Hospitality throughout the club. We do it by hiring. We spend a lot of time on finding the right people. Sometimes it's a joke how many times we interview. We'll continue to interview. We're looking for that right mix of skill level, professionalism, attitude, and something that comes from the heart. Always looking for the heart, always trying to find out what's important in people's lives. So you ask me, Jack, how do we get that permeating throughout the club? It's because we hire the people that basically live it, people with high integrity that live it day to day. We, of course, have great systems. The one we have at the DAC we call the Consistent Performance Process, CPP for short. Really, it's about clarification of why we're there, creating the tools and giving the tools for people to be successful. We have great interest in those throughout the club growing personally and professionally. And you have to have systems to do that, the hard work of implementing a culture and a knowledge base of how to deliver service at a very high level is possibly the work of it, but people have become very adept and do it very naturally.
And any of us that have ever walked into that club would second what Ted's just saying, this first-class feeling from Anthony right on down the line. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. We're with Ted Galeri, executive manager of the DAC, which is celebrating its 100th anniversary, downtown Detroit. The director of first impressions, the book cover. When you enter the main dining room, Captain Jimmy greets you. He's 86 years old. He remembers everybody's name. He's been this director of first impressions for the last 24 years, and you've got Captain Jimmy and Anthony and a number of these people. Talk a little bit about those people.
Well, these are very special individuals. Jimmy is a gifted man. There is no doubt about it. He would be successful no matter what he chose to do in this life. And we're so thankful that after he retired as the assistant general manager of Birmingham Country Club, he came on to the Detroit Athletic Club about the same time that I came to the DAC. I think he was there possibly a few months longer. Jimmy is a man that he sees people. You know, when they were walking in from the hallway into the grill, that's what we call our main dining room, the grill, Jimmy sees them. He lights up. It's natural for him. He's a man of integrity. What he thinks inside and what he feels for other people comes out. The things he says really just put people at ease. He's genuinely happy to see you. And you know, that's magical. When somebody's smiling and they make you feel comfortable, it's you understand, no matter what language that you, is your home language, when you see that and hear that in Jimmy's voice, you know you're welcomed. He's a man of a lot of sayings. He actually could write a book. He'll often say when we're busy, all good restaurants are busy. And yes, they are. But Jimmy, if you give him a lead, he'll tell you a story. He's got lots of them, and I told individuals that he's training or working next to him, write that down and remember it. You can use it.
Ted, a swan is very graceful when you watch them in the water, at water level, but then underneath they're paddling like crazy. When you walk into this grand old lady, everything looks like it's perfect. You know, it's just a beautiful day. But Murphy's Law, you must get hit with this 100-year-old building every week, every day. Talk about that.
All right. Well, you know, the DAC is filled with systems, mechanical systems, electrical, water, so on. And at any one time, one of those might not work exactly as planned. Elevator may go down. We have to make adjustments to that. Ventilation systems and so on may not work the way we like them to, and so on. That's normal. We kind of live with that. We have a team that's very versatile. Contingency plans are part of hospitality. Think of anything else where perfect is expected. You know, one of the most stressful positions there.
In Annie's house.
Annie's perfect. My wife is perfect. There's no doubt about that. And my success, believe me, has a lot to do with Annie. But in a club environment and in the DAC, special events are very much a part of what we do, right? Timing, you do a wedding or you do a special event where we have 2,000 members coming to the club, which is going to happen very shortly within September. They expect perfection. And if they expect it, it's a great compliment to us. Well, things don't always run to perfection behind the scenes. There's a lot of things that you have to understand that you need to do if something you're counting on isn't going to assist you the way you had anticipated. We do that really with some very smart people that work throughout the club. We have people understand their job, they understand the building, and they also understand we're going to deliver. And there's this dedication to doing what we say we're going to do and do it at a very high level of service, gracious hospitality that drives everyone. So when you have your eye on the goal, you'll do anything to make sure you get there. And that's how we do it.
Speaking of special events, in a couple of weeks, September 21st, you're going to open the new rooftop. Tell us about the new rooftop.
All right. Now, the 21st, you know, a lot depends on our construction partners and other things. We're just talking about things that may not go exactly right. So that's our goal. We certainly intend to hit that. On the roof, we have a wonderful restaurant called Stadium Club. It looks out over Comerica Park. It has interior seating, really a fabulous pizza oven, show pizza oven, a great design. And it has Nana doors that basically open up. And on beautiful days like we've had recently this summer, those doors will be open. Members will be dining on the terrace. And you also have a great view of Comerica Park. In fact, I was out there just last night. I thought you could see the ball clearly. You could see a game clearly. Our big challenge will be how do we get members, okay, now it's time to get up and let somebody else that's waiting to be seated have the table. We'll figure that one out. And members, I know, will be very accommodating. We also have a lounge on the south side, the other side of the building, and we call that The Last Word, which was named after a cocktail that the DAC created back in about 1916. And then we have a main kitchen up there because it really is like being on a city block elsewhere. We got to stock it and be prepared to serve everybody that's up there for a meal period. We also have a couple meeting rooms with beautiful views. We've named them after the architects of the building, Kahn being the second architect of the building on Madison, the second architect that designed DAC clubhouses. The first architect, Gehring, designed the clubhouse on Woodward. So Kahn has views of the east and the south, and Gehring meeting room has views of the really of the east.
For a number of years, Ed Reamer was the ad guy for Allstate Insurance. And they had this fabulous, "You're in good hands with Allstate." And he just had an aura about him, and you believed it. Ted, you have that same aura. How can a listener get that aura?
Oh, Jack, that's a tough question. You're telling me something I'm not observing in myself. I think, really, for people to be successful is when you have this thing they call flow. You just enjoy what you're doing, right? Like you. You like doing what you're doing. I can see it in your face. I can see it the way you ask questions and the way you get excited about a show. You have a sense of purpose. We all want a sense of purpose. In my case, working for the Detroit Athletic Club for great membership, it's been in existence 128 years. It really is a stewardship. I've heard our board speak of it like that. That really, I think, defines how we approach our day-to-day work. I've had some wonderful people I've worked with that probably motivates an individual. It informs us. It teaches us things. It's a great sense of appreciation for my position that has allowed me to raise my family in this area. I really do appreciate that every single day. So does my wife, Annie. But I think it's an identity with what we do. I think that's where the believability, if you will, comes from, the sincerity of it comes from. When I talk to young people getting in the business, I just had a wonderful young intern that came through the DAC this past summer, and she was asking about, you know, her career, what to do. And this is the, I give them the same advice, the advice that I think is maybe showing you this and me. And that is to work for people that you're aligned with, that you believe in. Work for an organization whose values are your values, right? An organization that allows you to be creative. You know, we're created by a creator, and I think we feel ourselves being best expressed when we can be creative in our own work. I would have to say that's what I appreciate. If it comes out like you said, Jack, then I'm very grateful for that.
We're talking to Ted Galeri, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Ted Galeri, the executive manager of the Detroit Athletic Club. Ted, you're a great listener. Listening is wanting to hear. Mm-hmm. How can a listener tonight become a great listener?
Well, Jack, you're easy to listen to, by the way. You have to have an interest in the other people. You can't be thinking of what you're going to say. I got to tell you, I'm not thinking of what I'm going to say. I'm trying to listen to your questions. You got to put yourself in a position where you have real interest in others. That's really what listening is about. Somebody that's speaking to you has something important to say. You know, they say the next best thing to knowing God is to know other people, and to be present with somebody that's in front of you, to want to hear what they have to say, to listen to them, to watch them. Leads to some extraordinary things. It's not just about you, about me. It's about who we are in this society and the people that really God puts us in the midst of.
Zig Ziglar was probably the greatest motivational speaker in our lifetime. The first book he ever wrote was See You at the Top. 41 times in that book, he says, you can get everything in life you want as long as you help enough other people get what they want. Ted, in this dog-eat-dog text world, is that still true?
That is so true. So I'm going to give you an example. We just had an off-site strategic planning exercise, a workshop with top leaders from the club, and I'm talking about staff. And we had Bruce Schwartz, the relocation ambassador for Detroit, a childhood friend of Dan Gilbert's, as I understand it, since third grade. And he came in and gave us a presentation about what's happening with Opportunity Detroit and all the Quicken Bedrock developments. And one of the things that they talk about is really giving. Don't worry about the dollars. Don't worry about what it's going to mean to you. When there is a need, fill it. Give. And, you know, worry about everything else after that. And it's probably not exactly how they say it, but that is the philosophy they live with. So that's one of the biggest developments going on in Detroit. What's happening with Bedrock, Quick, and what's happening with the Illich family and all that they're doing with District Detroit, I can tell you right now, after watching those organizations do the things they're doing in Detroit, on a big scale, it is about giving into a city, doing things for others, creating things that others can be creative with, participate in, find a home, live, and enjoy life as well. So we do it at the DAC. Point I'm making is all around us, it's happening in Detroit.
Anthony and his team of greeters, when you first come in, somebody comes in. I've taken people in there where they haven't been in there in 6 months. And Anthony remembers her name. How does your team remember these people's names?
I think it goes back to what we were speaking about earlier about listening. They have a real interest in people. It's a skill set. It's a gift that they have. And hiring for that position, by the way, they used to call them doorman. Some clubs, there is a position they called official greeter. We call them ambassadors because that's what they are. They have a love for people. They have a love for the organization. They understand it very well. In fact, they were participating in our strategic sessions off property. Some good people were left to greet others as they came in the club, but those individuals you mentioned were off property with us. They have, I think, a sincere interest in an individual. Not the group necessarily, but one person. And that makes all the difference.
You mentioned Danny Gilbert and all he and his team is doing for downtown. Tell us about the role that the DAC has and is now playing in our community.
All right. One of the things I love about the Detroit Athletic Club, you got to think of it, you know, we're an organization of people. We're an organization of members. We have probably the most philanthropic collection of leadership of any organization that I can think of. DAC members are out in the city doing things. Either they created the foundation or the nonprofit. They're on their boards. They're working. They're giving their time. They're giving their creativity. They're giving their ingenuity. That is the philosophy we have at the club as well. We try to give as an organization, give our time, give our thoughts and creative ideas. That's pretty much the club's philosophy. We were talking about that yesterday. We had a board retreat, and the subject came up. And you should have heard the conversations that were going on about the club's role in the city as an organization that's meant to uplift the city. There's a lot of ways to do it. It all gets down to helping others. And I'll give you one example that's probably most visible. It just has to do with art. And that was in celebration of our centennial. One of the first things that some of our past presidents thought of is how can we give to the city? And they thought of these beautiful Thomas Schomburg sculptures that are on the island in front of the club. How are we going to raise the money for it? Well, we're talking about millions of dollars to do that particular exhibit. But they found a way to do it, to raise those funds. And now, as part of the gateway into the city, you have these three beautiful sculptures. They really tell the story about the DAC, about sports and the city. They're iconic. I think they'll be there a long time, and people will remember them as they come through the club, or excuse me, as they come through the city.
You were working downtown in the mid-70s when it was really good. Then you came back in 94 as executive manager when it was dead. Talk to us about the rebirth of downtown.
I think what we're seeing now is truly sustainable. It is it's a community that's on fire, if you will, ignited to grow at all different levels. It's happening certainly in the entertainment side of it with sports and so on. It's certainly happening in the business side of it, and it's happening in residential. More people are moving downtown, really, than I think ever before. They build apartments or restore old buildings and create residential spaces, and they get filled immediately. It's different than the way I've seen it in the past. So I was telling you earlier, Jack, I was there when they built the Renaissance Center. It used to be big projects, kind of was it the solution, if you will. Now it's big projects that are integrated into the city, and they get everybody involved. There's a place for really everyone that wants to participate in the city life. You can come live there, work there, travel there, enjoy the city, and it's a place of creativity. And in the end, as I was saying earlier, being creative is one of the things that truly inspires individuals.
As our time winds down together, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
Well, I'd continue with that thought. City of Detroit is a great place to be. The companies, really the startup companies, the thought that's going into creating something new is there. It's an exciting place. It's a place where you'll find a lot of social activity. It's a place where people can be engaged in helping at a very transformational time in Detroit. I would say consider Detroit as a place to work. Consider some of the great institutions that we have downtown. Consider the DAC, great hospitality organization. Think of Detroit. It used to be, wasn't that long ago, that everybody was leaving the city, right? Now it's a place that's sort of a magnet to draw them to to Detroit. And I would say follow that. If you have an inclination to come downtown, have an inclination to see what's there, I would say come and see some of the things that we have.
Ted Galeri, what a shining example of a great servant leader. Keep up the great work.
Jack, thank you very much.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.